cones are dropping off my Chinese house. Two ducks in my spyglass, fiery as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.
Welcome to Yarns at Yin Hu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 80, Wool Party. Sunday, June 21st, 2015. I'm your host, Sarah, podcasting from the studios of Bovine Social Club. You can find me on social media as Sarah Pomegranate. The Yarns at Yin Hu podcast has a Facebook page, and it's available on iTunes. This week's episode includes the following segments: The Back Porch, The Front Porch, Chin Wagon, and Off the Shelf. I decided this Sunday morning that it was time to do a recording. I'll be taking a short trip to Vermont at the close of the school year, where I will have no internet connection whatsoever. And the next few days of school will be incredibly busy. It's been too muggy and humid to record outside, and so this morning while I was turning over in my mind how I was going to fit in a recording session, I remembered Bovine Social Club has a beautiful recording studio over in Delaware Water Gap. So I came over and have made myself at home here, and I'm bringing you, hopefully, a great sound experience on the podcast this morning. Thank you to everyone who has been communicating with me through the Ravelry board, social media, and even through letters and personal messages. Your listening to the show and commenting on what you hear and what you are interested in is really helpful to me as I continue to make the podcast as interesting and informative as possible. All year long, using hashtag Power Pantry, Yarns at Yin Hu listeners are exploring ways to make their pantries, all the aspects of the kitchen that contribute to pantry, to be more useful, beneficial, and effective. And in June, in particular, we have been discussing the refrigerator. I have been surprised to find that many listeners are not incredibly happy with their refrigerators and the features on them, or that the features are inconsistent. One thing will work very well, but other things are incredibly substandard. And there seems to be an idea promoted by the refrigeration industry that your refrigerator should only last about 5 years. Which seems like a very short time for a large and expensive appliance like that. I've been thinking about my refrigerator and some things I could say about it pretty much every time I open my refrigerator in the kitchen. And today I thought I would just share a few tips and ideas, some that have been my habits for a while and some things that I found as I've been looking online and also reading posts and ideas from others. Once you have a refrigerator whose features you can tolerate, hopefully you're happy with your refrigerator, in order for it to remain effective, it really needs to stay clean and organized. That can be difficult, especially if a large and busy family is using the refrigerator. At my house, it's relatively easy to stay on top of things because there are just two people using the refrigerator. But even so, it doesn't maintain itself. It always requires some upkeep, maintenance, and oversight on your part. I find that the best time to think about cleaning the refrigerator is when it's nearly empty. So either just before or just as I get home from any kind of a shopping trip, be it supermarket or farmer's market, before I'm about to put additional things into the refrigerator is when I take the opportunity to clean out things that have spoiled or reduce the size of things in the refrigerator by putting them in smaller and smaller containers. I do get made fun of a little bit for my somewhat obsessive compulsion to put things into ever smaller containers. But I just feel like a little bit of food that's floating around in a large container is just a waste of refrigerator space, one. And number two, I feel like it spoils more quickly if there's a lot of air circulation in the container. So I like to have very small containers and have air circulation between those containers. And that makes refrigeration a little more effective. The drawers in my refrigerator pull right out. They're not on a track. They're just resting in the bottom of the cavity. So it's easy to pull those out, remove whatever fruit and vegetables happens to be in there, rinse out the drawer, wipe it dry, and then fill it with fruits and vegetables that I've just purchased. It's also helpful to know the features of your refrigerator and really understand them. In my refrigerator, I think in most, the very coldest place in the refrigerator is on the lowest shelf. So anything that will spoil quickly should really go on that bottom shelf. So if there are meats, if there is something that needs to be used right away, dairy products, those things should be stored in the coldest space in the refrigerator. That's another reason not to put dairy products, especially milk, on the door of the refrigerator. That's really a better space for condiments and things that don't spoil very easily because the temperature on your door fluctuates more than the temperature anywhere else in the refrigerator. Just as I do on my pantry shelves, I find that plastic storage containers with different items in them helps me keep the refrigerator organized and also minimizes the time I stand there with the door open. Because if I know I want something in one of those containers, I can simply remove it, look through it, and then put it back. My refrigerator, one of the reasons I like it so much is that it's coated with an antibacterial kind of coating or product that really does help to minimize odors. But I like to use Arm & Hammer baking soda refrigerator packages, or even more economically, just a small bowl of vinegar inside the refrigerator on one of the shelves. If I have a lot of items in the refrigerator where smells might start to be a problem, if I'm preparing for a party or I have any foods with onions in them, I tend to put something in there to absorb the smells. What are your refrigerator tips? How do you stay clean and organized? Do you get other members of your family involved? I'd like to know, and I think Yarns at Yin Who listeners are always looking for tips to make their pantries more powerful. So join in the discussion on the Ravelry board. I look forward to hearing from you. The back porch. Last weekend, I finally finished Hane, a design for a short-sleeved top by Kirsten Johnstone. Hane, H-A-N-E, means feather, plume, or wing. And this lovely asymmetrical top features a sleeve on one shoulder and a beautiful cascading ruffle on the other shoulder. And it also has short row shaping so that the left side of the sweater is seamed. It's a simple seam. And the right side of the sweater has some beautiful ruching. There is a folded hem at the hemline and also on the sleeve, so it has beautiful finishing. And I worked as carefully as I know how. My skills are still developing to do the seaming on the sweater and the sleeve and to add an I-cord edging to the neckline and around the armhole of the sleeve that's just simply a ruffle. I knit this design in Shibui 100% linen in the clay colorway, and I used a variety of needle sizes, some suggested by the pattern and others that I altered as I saw fit. I kept track of all of that on my project page in Ravelry in case you are interested in knitting this pattern. It is a beautiful summer top. It's interesting in its design, and it comes together very nicely. I received a lot of compliments on it when I wore it this week, and I think it just looks like the kind of thing that you would have bought in a boutique somewhere. It is a project for, I guess, an intermediate or advanced knitter or someone who is a little less experienced but intrepid in their spirit, I suppose. It's a lot of knitting because it's at a rather fine gauge. And linen, you know, it's sort of polarizing as a fiber. Some people enjoy it. Some people find the crispness very difficult to work with. And this yarn from Shibui is kind of a chain-plied yarn. And so some folks find that difficult to work with because if you don't catch all the plies of the chain ply, you can start to have some problems with your stitches. The pattern at the price of $8 is quite an investment, but I felt like Kirsten Johnstone gave very complete and specific instructions and great schematics, a range of size options, and also just styling options. So she lets you know yardage information if you'd like to make the sweater with two sleeves, make it sleeveless, put ruffles on each shoulder, for example. So with one pattern, you have a lot of different options for the design. I have two regrets about the finished object. One is that I wish I had taken a little more time to investigate methods for picking up stitches once you do your wraps and turns. I picked up stitches in the most basic way, and it's visible where those wraps and turns occurred. I don't think it's terrible, but I think with just a little more time investment and practicing a new technique that I could have found a way to pick up wraps and turns in a way that's a little more streamlined and less noticeable. The other is that I wish I had knit the entire sweater on the size that I did. I knit the smallest size of the sweater, even though that's not my size. But I wish I had knit it on the smallest needles specified. And I did go up one needle size because I was knitting the smallest size, and that seemed in my swatching like one would compensate for the other. When I finished the sweater, had it all blocked, and put it on, it fit beautifully. But after a day in the sweater, it's a little bit saggy. And so I sort of wish that the gauge was a little bit tighter. I don't know that much about washing linen. I know it won't felt, but I'm wondering if it will shrink. And I live in a household without a washer or a dryer, so I take my garments to other facilities to have that done. And I'm not sure how to care for this garment. With my other hand knits, I simply hand wash them and allow them to dry flat. But if I want to shrink this up a little bit, I'm wondering if I put it in very hot water, will that cause the stitches to close back up? I don't really know about having it dry cleaned. It seems like they would put it on a hanger and that, you know, all would be lost if you put that garment on a hanger. So if you have any suggestions or if you've worked with linen yarn in the past, I'd like to know your thoughts. I would not even be opposed to going to a laundromat and putting this garment in the dryer for a few minutes if that would help tighten up some of the stitches, but I need to do something in the way of shrinking the stitches before I wear the garment again, because after spending time in it, it's out of shape. So your feedback and comments would be very helpful in that regard. The front porch. On the front porch are summer projects. Many, many, many of them, and I look forward to talking about each one as I work on it over the course of the summer. I will be participating in both Tour de Fleece, as I mentioned before, and Stash Dash. I think these are excellent motivators for getting certain projects done. And I also enjoy looking at the work of others accumulate as the summer goes on. It's just amazing when you consider what all of these knitters and spinners are producing over the course of a couple of months. It's really awe-inspiring. Stash Dash, for those of you who are my non-knitting listeners, I know you're out there, is a summer endeavor started by the Knit Girls, Leslie and Laura, to use summer vacation to knit or spin the equivalent of a 5K. That's 5,468 yards. This summer, there are some additional options for folks to knit a 3K or even a 10K for the overachievers out there. I'm going to stick to the 5K. I think that's a reasonable goal for me. And I will be both knitting, maybe crocheting, and spinning during this time. There might even be a weaving project. The Stash Dash began on May 22nd and extends until August 15th. Currently, I have 3,623 yards to go. I've completed a few hefty projects. And I look forward to a little more time in the summer to accomplish even more. Tour de Fleece is a spinning competition that runs concurrent with the Tour de France. I was talking to one of the French teachers at my school district. She is visiting France with some other teachers and a number of students this summer, and she's not a knitter, but I just happened to tell her about the Tour de Fleece. She cracked up. She just thought that was the funniest thing, that there was this spinning event that went along with the biking event. So for the Tour de Fleece, I will be participating on the Jenkins Yarn Tools team. And there were choices for a number of different projects or categories for which you could spin, and I chose to finish it up by working to complete a project that I've already started. I have some little batlings from Hobbledehoy in the Folktales colorway, I think it is. It's just some beautiful gem tones, just very, very rich colors of these little bits of fiber. And it's not too much. I think it's just over 2 ounces of this fiber, but I'm spinning it on my very, very tiniest Turkish spindle, my Kuchulu. So I'm not very far into the project at all, and I will be spending the summer, or rather the month of July, working to complete this project and ply all of the yarn. I'm plying each fatling into a separate little mini skein, a two-ply mini skein, and likely I will be doing the plying on a spinning wheel or maybe a larger spindle. It's very difficult to ply, I feel, on the Kuchulu, and I would save time and be a little bit more effective on a different spindle. A little bit further into the future, the Yarns at Yinhu podcast will be hosting the second annual Asymmetrical. This event is a craft along, so you are invited to knit, crochet, weave, or sew an asymmetrical garment or accessory. This item can be asymmetrical in design, construction, or even in use of color. So you might knit something, for example, that has a symmetrical design, but you use color in a way that makes the item appear asymmetrical. And during the time that we're crafting along, we talk about the benefits and advantages of garments and accessories that are asymmetrical in their appearance. This craft along runs from August 1st through September 30th. That's 2 months. There's already a planning thread open on Ravelry, so you can share ideas and also make links to patterns, perhaps, that are asymmetrical in some way. There are already folks chattering over there, so I invite you to join them. And if you are quite ambitious, you might even use the asymmetrical to overlap the very end of Stash Dash. There are 15 overlapping days, and maybe that's enough time for you to complete a project. I'm interested in folks who might be willing to contribute prizes to the asymmetrical. If you have a crafty business, or if you would like to offer up something, perhaps from your stash, something that's knocking around and you're not going to get to it, then maybe you'd like to offer that for a prize. And if you are interested, please send me a personal message on Ravelry and we can work out the details. I am very appreciative in advance for all of the folks who make contributions to our prizes and help in other ways to support the podcast. Chinwagon. For this segment, I am joined in the Gifted and Talented office at my school by Celine and Courtney for our final meeting of the year, our string theory meeting of the year. We are decidedly giddy with end of the year excitement. But I hope you will enjoy our conversation. So many of you commented that you enjoyed listening to Courtney and Celine in our first session. So they were very eager to record again. They have been the recipients of some fiber from BlissCut. Thank you so much for that. And they were just... they were intoxicated on yarn fumes, I think, or fiber fumes. The teacher in me likes to provide them with something to talk about during our sessions. And so prior to recording, I showed them a video. I will link to it in the show notes. Filmed at Phillips Academy Charter School in Newark, New Jersey. At this charter school, Judith Simmons, who's one of my colleagues from the Sheep to Shawl course at Fibercraft Studio, teaches children and implements curriculum in handwork at each grade level. Phillips Academy Charter School is not a Waldorf school, but Judith Simmons has used the teachings of Rudolf Steiner to inform her instruction. And Judith has a history of implementing these types of programs. So this is the second video in which she and her students appear. The first is titled Knitting a Community Together, and it can be found on the Craft Yarn Council's website. This is a number of years ago when Judith and her students were the subject of articles and also this video, which are highly informative. So I will also link to that, especially if you work with children or you're considering implementing anything with the fiber arts in a school setting. These are important resources to consider. In the latest video, Judith isn't featured very much at all. Instead, her students, the CEO of the school, some of her fellow teachers, and also parents of the students comment on what this handwork and bringing this handwork to the school community has meant to them and the students. It's incredibly powerful, and I wanted to use this video as sort of a starting point for some of our conversation. All right, so welcome back to 227 and our fiber arts gathering with Celine and Courtney.
Hi.
Let's just start with, what are you working on?
I'm working on a beanie, a new version of it. So what I did was half double crocheted a band, measured it around my head, and then I connected them together, and I just continuously went around to build it up, but with a puff stitch. And then once I'm done, I'm doing my last row now, I'll sew them together and flip it inside out. And then I got my hat.
Nice.
Woo!
It looks cool. And we said, Celine, what did you say? Ninja Smurf?
Yeah, she looks like a Ninja Smurf when she puts it on. It looks like a Smurf hat, but black. So, looks like a Ninja Smurf.
New variety.
But the Smurf hat goes forward, not backward.
Oh.
Hey!
No
way.
Okay.
Hey! I got you on that one.
I have never seen the Smurfs, so I just saw the shape and I was like, Smurf.
Celine, what are you working on, or what have you been working on?
Well, right now I'm contemplating the universe's secrets. And also, I'm trying to decide what to do with this giant bat of fiber.
Oh, by the way, thank you, Katrina, if you are listening, for the fiber that you gave us. We are so happy.
Thank you so much. This is what I'm contemplating.
Shout out
to Bliss Cat. This is what I'm contemplating right now. And,
struggles of making fabulous yarn.
Yeah. Such a struggle.
So, the last time we talked about fiber arts and stress levels. Has crochet helped you through quarterly and exam period at all, or have you had to set it aside?
I had to set it aside, sadly, because study. I didn't want to study at all, so a couple times during my study session, I just go under my blankets of my bed and just start crocheting for, 15 minutes. And I'll, pop back up again. It's like, okay, back to work.
I've reached the level of stress where, I stop stressing, which is weird, because suddenly you're like, okay, I'm done. I can't care anymore.
Same. With Spanish. Oh, my God.
And then you start stressing that you don't care anymore. Which, it's like a never-ending cycle. So I haven't had time to, even think about crochet or knitting, because I'm too busy, trying to figure out what's going on in my brain.
Does that mean that you're looking forward to working on projects in the summer?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm pretty excited.
But sadly, I'm going to be a CIT, and counseling training for the local camp.
Okay.
And I'm not too excited because most of the kids are really bratty there, besides the pre-K kids, who are so sweet and everything, and they're so cute.
Do you think they would respond to any things with Yarn?
Or do you think they would just destroy them?
Are they allowed to do that? Or do
yes,
they
got
crafts?
A couple, they have some Yarn there, but they mainly go with like kindergarten craft stuff, Pinterest, that type of stuff. And a lot of people don't like the art because it's just kindergarten-like. But the art director, I hope it's the same as last year. I loved her, and she's a college graduate and a major in art.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll probably talk because she'll listen to me, mm-hmm. unlike the other directors and everything. And I'll probably ask her if I could help her start something with Yarn and that. Maybe do like start out with like simple braiding. And then maybe some, like, take yarn and start with finger knitting. Then, like, and then and to make it cheap, probably get some, like, skewers and put, like, foam balls at the end.
Yeah.
To make, like,
I
simple.
Think you could get somewhere with that.
Yeah, it's
you
an
find
idea.
Find a lot of ideas. Okay. So, how about you, Celine? Besides spinning this gorgeous bat, what's on tap for you?
A lot of things. I have, I'm going to a G&T program at Montclair State. It's basically, I think it's a, it's a glorified summer camp, but I'm kind of excited.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I did not get into the class that offers fan fiction.
What?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm in something else. It's, I think I'm like human kinetics, which is like how people move, I believe, but
what?
I don't know.
That's
kind of
cool.
It is cool. That's why I picked it.
I was like,
my first choice was fan fiction, so.
I wanted to hug you right now, but there's a table in a way, because I just wanted to tap you on the back and be like, there. Maybe next time.
Well, you know, I recommend inquiring. You never know if a space opens up.
Mm-hmm.
So, don't give up hope. But I think the kinetic sounds really cool.
Yeah, I forgot my rationale for signing up for that, but I'm sure I had a good one, I guess.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Does anyone have fun scissors? People.
Yeah.
No.
I just finished my hand.
You cannot have the scissors, Grinny.
We
can't trust you after the last time.
What last time? I don't remember cutting anyone. Maybe.
They're safe.
Don't point the sword at me.
Please. So we just finished watching, you guys were watching for the first time, the video made at Phillips Academy Charter School.
Mm-hmm.
Impressions?
I love that one girl with the pigtails.
Yeah. They were
all so cute.
They're all such sweet kids. I wish there was a program like that for me when I was a small child.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually glad they do that, because when I was a kid, they barely provided any arts programs, during my whole childhood, and I'm like, ooh, and I started getting into, like, knitting with my grandmother and art. That's what led me up to today, trying to do my own manga, Japanese comics, basically, if
mm-hmm.
no one understands, and they barely provided anything, and I had to teach myself with everything, but I'm glad I joined this club because I could learn more. I know how to make my own yarn now, weave it, crochet it, knit it, and everything, and that's actually a really positive thing to do on kids, because from the video, they look like they know how to do more than I do today.
It seemed like there was a lot of different stuff going on, knitting, crocheting. They were clearly following patterns, some of them. They were reading knitting patterns.
Yeah, but some of those knitting patterns, I don't even know how to, like, do, like, a certain thing of what.
So that could be something we could work on next year.
Yay.
Yeah.
If you were to visit those students, or any students who go to that school, what would you want to ask them, or do with them, or...
I would like to learn with them.
Yeah.
See how, like, the way the teacher... teaches them, because
mm-hmm.
they looked pretty, the way that work is, that's pretty good. I barely saw mistakes from the video itself, but there probably is something there, since they're little kids, but I think you're taught really well, and I want to see how they are taught.
I just want to sit and, like, talk with them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I just want to, like, sit down, do my own project, watch them do their projects, and be like, hey, how's it going? What are you working on? And, like, this is what I'm working on. Let's just hang out with yarn, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. The surprising thing is, it's like, that looks like my, like, one of the, it's like, with one of the kids, he looks like as old as my 7-year-old cousin, Robert, and the surprising thing is, it's like, my little cousin, at this age, is, like, plays soccer, like, plays video games on his iPad, and on his phone, and Celine's just sniffing her roll.
It's soft, okay?
Well, what he looked up from...
You guys need to know a term.
Ooh, what's the term?
Well, you decided to name this episode Wool Party, so I feel like this is appropriate time to familiarize you with the term yarn fumes. That's when you sort of get a high.
What?
From yarn and fiber. You put your face in it. You get kind of excited about it.
All right.
Okay, so
high on yarn fumes is a thing.
Okay, then. So I'm technically on a good drug?
That's right. It's a good stuff.
It's a good, very... It's a creative. Good it's...
Another thing that you would, I think, would interest you if you visited Phillips Academy Charter School is lunchtime with the kids because they eat family style, really healthy food, salad bar.
Nice.
They have a rooftop garden. What is it? Hydroponic greens where they're growing in water.
Oh, wow.
They have some of their salad greens and herbs growing hydroponically right inside their cafeteria.
Yes. It sounds a lot better than this school because all I see is greasy fries, burnt pizza.
So I think we could learn something from them.
Yeah. Where was this school when I was growing up?
Exactly. Did you say New York or Newark?
Newark. What about next year? Thoughts, wishes, plans, anything I should be thinking about preparing or figuring out how to teach?
Because there's so much in my head. It's like, obviously, knitting is one thing.
So you were saying...
You don't have any senior obligations.
No.
Okay.
So, Courtney, you were saying before we started recording that you've spent a lot of time on crochet this year.
Yes.
And next year you'd like to dedicate a little more time to knitting.
Yes, and obviously I'll still stay with crocheting because I love it.
And you know the basics because...
My grandmother... lives in Pennsylvania now. She taught me when I was little, and all I know so far is like the regular knit stitch, and to make like regular rows. But I don't know anything like the fancy triangle-ish shape, and I need to learn with the round needles,
circular
mm-hmm. needles. Mm-hmm. My grandmother calls them round.
Round needles.
So,
mm-hmm.
And see what I could do with that. Oh, wait, is it okay if I talk about it in the next?
Yes,
because there's a lot.
Let's hear from Celine about next year, and then I definitely want to ask you about the anime next.
Okay.
All right, so next year, what do you want to learn?
Next year, I want to learn how to knit, just because, high five. Okay. Yeah, just because I feel like there's an entire world of possibilities with knitting. And also, I don't feel like wasting as much yarn as I do on crochet.
It does take a lot of yarn. Yes.
So,
okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much it. I don't have a lot of plans because I fear the future.
Well, we're also going to get you set up with a weaving project for this beautiful rainbow of yarn that you've spun.
I think I'm devising a plan for this
one. Okay. So, Courtney, let's hear about Anime next. Where was it? When was it?
So, it was last weekend, and for those who are probably going to hear this podcast later, it was June... It's June 12th through 14th, and I went on the 13th on Saturday. That was the only day I was able to go, sadly. And what it is an anime convention where basically everyone in New Jersey that wants to go, goes there, they cosplay, they sell anime stuff and that. And there's this place called the Artist Alley, where basically you can sell your art prints or your crafts. So I saw a lot of this in the Artist Alley because I wanted to mention this. So basically what happened was basically there was like so many knitted projects there. There was like knitted hats, there was like knitted amigurumis.
For sale.
And there was like I'm trying to remember. There's knitted pillows, knitted sushi pillows and all that pizzazz. And it was so cool because it was so intricate and everything that you could see. Like, you could buy that online, and yet, like, it's... I don't know how to explain it. It was just amazing.
And were the folks who had made those items right there selling them?
Yeah, they were right there.
So you could, if you loved something, you could compliment them.
Yeah, you could compliment them.
Did you talk to anybody?
Well, because I was with a group, we were kind of rushing around, and I'm like, but, and I was like going to my friends, but knitted stuff, my hobby, it's right there. And they're like, no, we gotta go to this panel. And I'm like, sad face. And I was also in cosplay.
Tell us about what you were wearing.
I was being Inuyasha. Basically, it was an old anime that a lot of people loved and a lot of people recognized. And I'm not bragging here, but like 20 people asked to take pictures with me. It was a lot.
So that is a big compliment.
It is because when you are asked to get a picture, technically that's like your cosplay's good in the cosplay community.
It's like confirmation that you did a good job.
And they recognize who the character is and all that. Yeah. Very nice.
And Anime Next was a lot of fun. And I got a lot of stuff too. Like, this is actually a new backpack. Senkitsu from Kill la Kill. Very big, very durable.
Were your friends that joined you also in costume, or were you the only one?
Three out of four cosplayed. One is not much into the cosplay stuff. She's more into like the buying and everything. But so
shopper.
She's the shopper of it, and she just wears a fandom shirt and buys a lot of stuff.
Uh-huh.
So my friend Morgan, she dressed up as Marceline from Adventure Time.
Oh yeah.
Although that's not anime, but there's like a lot of fans that are in the anime community that love Adventure Time. And I don't know if anyone will recognize this one that knows anime that listens to this podcast. My friend Sarah, she dressed up as Rin Tosaka from Fate's Day Night. And my friend Leah was the one that didn't dress up.
Okay.
And Inuyasha over here.
Hi.
Hi. I'm making a hat.
You're making a hat?
Yeah, I'm making a pom-pom.
We're recording a podcast. It's okay, you're on it. I'm a Sherbert.
Hi.
Hi.
Sorry, I just wanted to see what you were making because it looked awesome.
We're just having our last hurrah of the year.
Yeah.
How about you? Any crafty plans for the summer?
I want to start crocheting again. So I'm hoping to get that started. And my friend's daughter really wants to learn how to crochet. So I'm going to
ever come over here
again.
Perfect. Yeah. Do you need any supplies?
I might
stop by if you do. Before school, we'll set you up with some stuff.
Sounds great.
Okay.
We got a lot of stuff to be
honest. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Fun, fun.
Have a good summer.
Another teacher from the school.
Yeah. These scissors. Oh, and by the way, if you are interested or inclined and have any purple yarn, keep up with the hats because we'll just hold off our donation for Click for Babies until the fall. I was thinking it might be interesting. We have the activities fair where we put out a table. It might be interesting to wait until after the activities fair to send all the hats off, and maybe that could be part of our display.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah, I think that would be neat. And then, you know, we can photograph them and use it for school news and things like that.
It's a big problem.
There's a podcast I've been listening to called Teaching Your Brain to Knit, and it has the interest of the hosts is how knitting and brain function work together, which Celine could be something that comes up as a topic in your, because you said it's
human kinetics. Yeah,
so they're very interested in what the actions and experience of knitting bring to your brain function. And one of the questions that they always ask at the beginning of their podcast, which is what I'm going to ask you, and you can reinterpret it with crochet, but they say, what has your knitting taught you this week? So my question to you is, what has your yarn and fiber crafting taught you this year?
Patience.
Oh gosh.
Lots of patience. Because like, when I first started out trying to make a hat, I became so impatient because it wasn't coming into shape originally. And then I realized I got to calm down a little bit and practice a bit more. And I did. And I'm able to make a beanie now. So nice. That was one thing that crocheting and the fiber arts taught me.
How about you?
I think, the biggest thing for me is self-confidence, because, growing up, people, and this is kind of probably a commentary on, like, the education system, too, but, because I'm crazy and, like, I extrapolate things.
Not at
but,
all.
Yeah, because as a kid, I was pretty smart, if I do say so myself. And so, like, people would tell me, like, oh, you're so smart. And then once you grow up and, like, the challenges keep getting harder and, like, you struggle and you start thinking, oh my gosh, am I not smart? Like, what do I become if I'm not smart? And so that kind of created this perfectionist mentality with me. And so over the course of the year with crochet and a lot with spinning, too, it's just taught me that, like, you don't have to be perfect all the time. And it's helped me so much with everything. I started drawing again, and, like, I'm doing watercolor. And I actually have something here
I
can show you. It's a present for my friends.
Aww. I can never do watercolor. Wait.
Yeah.
Winter Soldier, volleyball, I don't remember that one.
This is Flick from Suikoden. This is Kageyama from Haikyuu. And this is Bucky Barnes from
Haikyuu! I love
Marvel.
You!
And so this is a prep sketch in preparation for
a watercolor.
Very small and detailed.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta have like one of those like small bristle brushes because with watercolors, I don't know if you experience it yet, they are very unforgiving. They are, because it's like if you slip up, like, one little dot, it'll mess up the whole thing. It'll make it, it's like, say, with the orange, you're trying to do the shading. But
yeah.
If you, like, do too much, it becomes a brown splotch, and it mixes with all the other colors and just spreads everywhere.
But I think that just backs up the claim that Celine made, that feeling, that sense of confidence is, to me, watercolor is one of the most challenging of the visual arts just because of that lack of control.
Yeah.
So I think that really is a testament to your feeling of confidence. And we had talked about the mid-project anxiety.
Yeah, and, like, I'm having less of that now, mm-hmm. and more of, like, instead my inner voice is not like, oh my god, you screwed up. It's more like, it's okay, you know, you're getting there. And I think that's helped so much. So, yeah.
Great.
I'm really happy.
Well, that's a great place to conclude. I wish you both a happy summer.
Thank you.
And we can wish a happy summer of creating to all the listeners.
Happy summer.
Happy summer.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Off the Shelf. Thank you to everyone who participated in the summer read-along poll. With 42% of the vote, Color, A Natural History of the Palate by Victoria Finlay is my choice for summer reading. I'll be beginning this read on June 24th and concluding on September 1st. And throughout the summer on my podcast recordings, I will be talking about my thoughts and reactions to this nonfiction read. In case you are interested in joining along, let me share a bit from the review or overview of the book on Amazon.com. This is from Publishers Weekly. Defining color is a simple matter, visible light of a particular wavelength. Or is it? It turns out that the pigments and dyes responsible for hues have many remarkable characteristics, most of which we rarely ponder. Journalist Finlay's first book is a blend of travelogue and historical exploration about the myriad ways color takes on meaning for us, whether as a matter of aesthetics, economics, war, or culture. The book has no overarching theme. It is all byways, an approach that works. Insofar as there is a thesis, it is that visual expression falls just behind procreation and the search for food and shelter as a fundamental human activity. Countless peoples, Finlay reports, rank color and art among their primary concerns. During her journey, both literal and literary, Finlay learns of the rise and heartbreaking fall of the art of the Pintupi tribe in barren central Australia during the 1970s and the once supreme economic clout of indigo from Bengal, to take just a few examples among the dozens. So, are you interested in joining me to look at color through a new and more highly informed lens this summer? I hope you will consider it and read along. The book is widely available. The read-along stretches over the course of the entire summer, so there's plenty of time to join in.
Acorns are dropping off my Jenny's house. Two ducks in my spyglass, fiery as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. Leaves her down like a lady, waiting for a naked man. River bends like an elbow, turning stones to sand. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. Sycamore trees are blazing like a rainbow fire. Just like Linda Curtis, burn out on a wire. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.
Thanks for listening. Music for this episode is Sweet. Music and lyrics by Samuel St. Thomas, performed by Chris DeLong and Cesar Diaz. If you enjoyed today's episode, I hope you will consider leaving a star rating or a review on iTunes, liking the show's Facebook page, or joining the Yarns at Yinhu group on Ravelry. Eat well and stay strong as you hone your post-apocalyptic skill set this week. It's a subway nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature.